This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. Skin cancer accounts for half of all cancers in the United States. Melanoma, the most serious type, will account for more than 76,000 cases of skin cancer this year. Joining us to look at skin cancer causes, treatments, and research are dermatologist and assistant professor Dr. Adam Ingrafia and professor and researcher Dr. Zalfa Abdelmalek from the University of Cincinnati College of Medicine, Department of Dermatology, and the UC Cancer Institute. We'd like to hear from you, too. You can call us with your questions, 513-419-7100. Email us, talk@wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook and Twitter. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having us.
Thank you both for being here. I'd like to start out talking a little bit about what skin cancer really is. Is it only caused by the sun? And Dr. Ingrafia, we'll start with you.
Okay. So, you know, like most cancers, there are multiple causes for skin cancer. Sun exposure or ultraviolet light exposure is definitely one of the prevalent causes. Other things that can, you know, cause skin cancer are exposure to different types of radiation. Some people have genetic diseases that run in families that predispose them to skin cancer. Different medications that people can take can predispose them to skin cancer. But as far as modifiable risk factors, ultraviolet light and sun exposure is definitely the number one cause of skin cancer that we're aware of.
Dr. Abdelmalek?
Well, definitely. I agree 100% with my colleague here that exposure to the sun is definitely a causative factor for skin cancers, particularly in individuals that have lightly pigmented skin, those that tend to burn rather than tan when they're out in the sun. Those are the ones that definitely need to be very aware of their sun exposure.
Well, let's talk about, first of all, there are a couple different things here, but the whole indoor tanning booth, those have been popular for a number of years. And many people say, well, you know, that's okay because they take out the damaging rays or whatever. What is your reaction to indoor tanning booths? Are they a good idea?
There's no truth to that statement that they take out the damaging rays. That, you know, there's been a recent study that was just published in the Journal of the American Medical Association that attributes indoor tanning to being the cause of 400,000 skin cancers in this country.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. Yeah.
So what do you tell? Do you think it should be? I mean, there's some talk about making it illegal. Do you think it should go that far? Can you do it once or twice? If, you know, some people say, oh, well, I need to do that before I go on my beach vacation to, you know, start my tan.
I don't think there is any truth to the fact that this provides you with a safe tan. So especially in young individuals, exposure to such ultraviolet radiation that comes from these beds could be really detrimental. I don't like to use cancer as a scary thing, but definitely photoaging is something that can be caused by these rays that can penetrate deep into the skin layers.
Photoaging, is that what you said?
Photoaging.
What
yes.
is that?
Sun
this
damage.
Sun damage. Yeah, that can really cause
wrinkles, sunspots, liver spots. Yeah. You know, all the evidence that you see on your skin that somebody is getting older.
So it's that whole thing that although a tan maybe makes you feel young and fresh when you're younger, it doesn't help you much when you get older.
No.
Yeah. Well, how do you really?
Just touching on what Dr. Abdelmalek said about, you know, the idea of the base tan. So there have been some studies looking at this and they've shown that, you know, a base tan provides the equivalent protection of SPF 3 sunscreen, which you can't even buy because it doesn't do anything.
Yep.
Well, let's talk about the best way to protect yourself in the sun. And I'm going to give the phone number in case anybody has a question because we don't have a ton of time for this segment. So if you do have a question, you want to get your call in early, 513-419-7100, 513-419-7100. But, you know, you walk out to get the mail or you walk out to take the dog out briefly. Do you need to put sunscreen on for that? I mean, at what point do you really start to need sunscreen?
I think a lot of that depends on you. You know, I mean, if you have a history of melanoma and you've had multiple skin cancers, I tell my patients, wear sunscreen every day.
Yeah.
And not just when you're going to be out in the sun, every day. Just, you know, it's because of your risks are so high that you need to do something extra to protect yourself.
So I think that would surprise a lot of people. I think if they're just headed outside, they're not thinking about that as their morning routine is to lather up in sunscreen. It smells. I mean, some people just don't like the way it smells. It feels greasy. What's your advice?
Well, there's very different formulations these days. So one can really find something that would suit their taste, so to speak. And, you know, the most important thing is to also be aware of the type of sunscreen that you're using. It has to be at least an SPF, which is sun protective factor of 15. And it should also cover the different spectra of UV, UVA and UVB, which is, UVB is the one that causes the redness and, it has the more drastic effects on the skin than UVA.
Now, we hear a lot about the importance of vitamin D, and people are using all this sunscreen, and therefore they're low in vitamin D. What do you say to that?
Well, you know, the studies say that basically anywhere between 5 and 15 minutes of outdoor exposure, 3 to 4 times a week, is enough for most adults in this area to be able to synthesize the necessary amount of vitamin D. Okay? That doesn't apply to everybody. There are some people who maybe need some way to supplement their vitamin D. So that is easily done either through your diet or through vitamins. So using the sun, you can't get extra vitamin D that's going to help you by spending more time in the sun. So the amount you need is a small amount, and doing extra doesn't help you.
Yeah. Now, I just want to add one thing about going back to the tanning beds, that the UVA, which is emitted in the tanning beds, is not something that would provide any vitamin D synthesis.
Exactly.
In the skin.
Only the UVB does.
From the sun. Yeah.
Now, we've talked a lot about sunscreen and the SPF factors and all of that. What about the idea of just covering up? I mean, wearing clothing. I mean, that's a great
solution. Yeah. Yep. If you look in the past, people wore a lot more clothes and they wore hats, right? Some people blame the skin cancer, what we call epidemic, on John Kennedy, who kind of got rid of the hat for American men.
Really?
So now, you know, people are outside all the time without any protection.
So you encourage a hat?
I think a hat is great.
Yeah. Long sleeve shirt. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
513-419-7100 is our phone number. Martha's calling from Southgate. Hi, Martha. What's your comment or question?
Actually, I have a question. I lost my son 8 years ago to melanoma.
I'm sorry to hear that.
So sorry.
Well, thank you. Afterwards, I found out that his father's side of the family have a strong BRCA gene throughout a lot of the family. Mm. I have read a couple of articles that said, you know, while the BRCA gene is associated with breast cancer in females, that in men, it can be associated with melanoma and prostate cancer. Do you know anything about that?
I do know that there is a level of risk. I can't give you the exact number, like for what percentage or what how much the risk is going to be increased in somebody with a BRCA gene mutation. But I do know that there is an association between having that BRCA gene mutation and developing melanoma.
Yep.
Is there anything that people should do if they know they have that? Just be more careful?
That would be somebody who should definitely take extra precautions in the sun.
Yep.
Martha, thanks so much. Is there anything else you wanted to ask?
Can I just one more question?
Sure.
Real quick.
Sure.
My grandson is 14. How old should he be before he's tested for that gene? Because it is very heavy in his father's side of the family.
You know, that's really a question you'd have to bring up with the it's your grandson?
Yeah, it's my grandson.
With your grandson's pediatrician or a geneticist.
A genetic counselor.
About a genetic counselor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Martha.
Calling.
Our phone number is 513-419-7100. Deborah is calling from Dayton. Hi, Deborah. What's your question?
Hi. I am a woman of biracial descent. I have one white parent and one African-American parent. And I'm wondering if I'm at an increased risk for melanoma because of my heritage, and also, where would I look for it? I mean, you know, other than just the face, I guess. And then my second question is, I'm a runner. I spend a lot of time outdoors. And this summer, I've developed sort of a dark spot on my lip, and I'm wondering if you could get a melanoma on your lips.
Okay, those are a couple good questions. Yeah.
Well,
so do you want to start out?
I just want to ask, you know, about your first question. Being biracial doesn't necessarily mean that you have an increased risk. Of course, you know, I talked a little bit previously about pigmentation of the skin. Let me ask you this. Are you redhead or very fair skin? Then probably I would say, not definitely, you do not have a very high risk. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't have any protection from the sun. And then I'll leave it to Adam to answer the question about the melanoma.
So I can address the melanoma in African Americans is uncommon. It's not unheard of, but it does happen. Some of the locations that are actually more common are on your hands and feet are more common areas. What we call acral lentiginous melanoma, which is a type of melanoma that can develop on the palms, on the soles of the feet. It can develop around the nails of your hands and feet. So, many people don't know, but the singer Bob Marley died of that type of melanoma. It was on his big toe.
Deborah, thank you. She did have one other question about the spot on her lip. Yeah. Should she?
Obviously, you'd have to have somebody look at it directly, but those type of spots are common in African-American individuals.
So it's not something she should immediately worry
about?
Not
necessarily a sign of anything bad.
Yeah.
But I guess the next time she's in, should she have him look?
She should have him look at it.
Have him look at it, Deborah, just in case, I guess, is the safe bet there. Thank you so much for your call. We appreciate it.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye. Our phone number is 513-419-7100. If you have a question, as we talk today about skin cancer and melanoma, one of the things I'd like to bring up is there are different kinds of skin issues. The squamous cell, I don't
squamous
know how
to cell.
Cell. Squamous
all, cell.
Can you explain all those different types of issues?
Can I?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay,
yeah.
So basically when we think of skin cancers, especially those that are mainly caused by sun exposure, there are three main kinds. Those that are derived from the structural cells of the upper skin layer, the keratinocytes, those are the basal and squamous cell carcinomas. And then, as you mentioned, the melanoma, which arises from the pigment cells that give our skin its particular skin color tone. So melanoma, of course, is the one we worry mostly about. Not that we shouldn't worry much about squamous cell carcinomas, because they could also be invasive if you just leave them, without checking on them. So basically, these are the three main kinds. We worry about melanoma because it tends to be invasive and it could spread to distant organs. We also worry about it because it's known to be very resistant to most known chemotherapies or treatments. And it could be metastasis or the spread of the disease is the cause of fatalities from melanoma.
Dr. Ngrafia?
I'll just say a few things about basal cell skin cancer and squamous mm-hmm. cell, because those are actually the ones that we see the most of. So, if we look at, in the United States, a total of around 5 million skin cancers a year, about 4 million of those are basal cells. So they're by far the most common. And, they're typically the way patients will describe them is a sore that just doesn't heal or a pimple that just never goes away. And they grow very slowly. They do tend to bleed because they have a lot of blood vessels in them. Commonly seen on the face. We'll see them all the time on people's nose, ears, eyelids, around the mouth. Can be found anywhere on the body. People tend to sometimes don't consider basal cell skin cancer a serious skin cancer because the risks of metastasis are very low. But, these are skin cancers that do cause destruction of the tissue around them. So, they can eat into your eyelids, into your lips, through your nose, and cause a lot of pain and suffering for the people who have them. So it's not something that, should be taken lightly. Let's put it that way.
So what is the treatment? What do you do when somebody has that?
Okay. So that's what I do. For basal cell and squamous cell, there's lots of different treatments. There's surgical treatments. There's topical creams, sometimes even superficial radiation therapy. The most common treatments are surgical for all of these cancers, and the cure rates are very high. So that's one of the things, one of the messages we want to get out is that all of these cancers, if caught early, are extremely treatable and curable. So for basal cell and squamous cell, we can have cure rates close to 100%. For melanoma, even if it's caught early, we can have cure rates in the, high 90s.
So. We had a caller from Dayton who wanted to know, are spray tan products safe, where, people spray on the color?
Yeah, we really don't think that there's much of an issue with those.
Yeah.
So if you really feel like you need to have that tanned look, get it out of a bottle, not from the sun.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah.
Kyle's calling from Hillsboro. Again, our number, 513-419-7100. Hi, Kyle. What did you want to ask today?
I was just wondering if the UV light given off from welders puts you at an increased risk factor for melanoma or any other type of skin cancer.
That's a fascinating question, and I don't know the answer.
Neither do I, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So you don't know.
I didn't know. So you're talking about the welding, like the lamp, the actual flame from the welding lamp or the torch?
It's a MIG arc or a.
If it's emitting ultraviolet light, then you are at risk for skin cancer.
Okay.
So what should he
protect
your eyes? I mean, I'm assuming you're going to be covered up when you're welding.
Yeah.
Right.
Most of your skin is covered, but it isn't totally covered. I mean, there are patches of skin that aren't.
Okay, but that are indirect, that would be directly exposed to the light.
Yes.
Yeah, I would try and cover all that up. Mm-hmm. I mean, in addition to the UV light, I mean, obviously you'd be at risk of a burn. Right. Yeah.
So cover it up with clothing. Cover it up with sun protection or SPF.
A protective suit. I would assume you wear something like that.
What? And you mentioned the eyes, Dr. Malik. Talk about that a little bit. How careful do people? And you can't put SPF on your eyes necessarily. Sunglasses?
Well, sunglasses basically because UV can cause cataracts.
Kyle, thanks so much for your call. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Kyle. Good question.
Let's go back to the eyes a little bit more here. So, what type of sunglasses should people be looking for? Is that a trick question?
I think most of them have, you know, they say UV protective. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know the actual way that they're rated as opposed to sunscreen.
Yeah,
but there's a rating system also for clothing, but I'm not sure about for the sunglasses.
What about the idea of wearing? I mean, do you wear sunglasses all the time? Do you think that that's critical?
Actually, the glasses I wear have a UV coating on them. Mm-hmm. So
just your regular glasses.
Yes.
Yeah. So you can get that as well if you don't want to wear sunglasses.
You can get a UV coating put on your regular glasses.
Yeah. And that protects them. Mm-hmm. You said they cause cataracts. Talk a little bit more about that. What happens? It just people exposed to the sun are more likely to get cataracts?
And there is also some epidemiological evidence that was published years ago that in areas like in South America where the ozone layer has been depleted, it has been shown that people were getting more cases of cataract, and the animals were also getting that as well because of lack of protection.
You talked about the basal cell carcinoma and how it's easily treated with surgery and those sorts of things. What about a very serious melanoma? What are the treatment options?
So again, you know, the standard treatment is surgical, right? You know, once it gets beyond that, we don't have a way to cure melanoma currently. Yep. We have, you know, there are a lot of new chemotherapies, which are actually, you know, most of them are forms of immune therapy, where we're actually either using your body's immune system, or they're targeted therapies where we're giving a medicine that inhibits a certain gene or a certain protein in the body to help stop the spread of the melanoma. But once it's spread, we don't have a cure for it.
Yeah. Well, you know, recently there's been some very interesting and exciting advancements as far as melanoma therapy is concerned. But again, all of those do not, you know, they prolong the life of the patient. And yet we really need to look beyond that for a real cure. For example, there are the BRAF inhibitors because more than 60% of melanomas harbor a defect in this particular gene where it's overactive. So personalized medicine is really now what's the newest thing and the most exciting thing as far as melanoma therapy is concerned.
Now, you've done some research with a cream. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, actually, it's not a cream yet.
It's not a cream yet. Tell us about it.
Well, we've been very much involved in looking at melanoma susceptibility because we try to focus more on prevention since, as we mentioned, sun exposure is a main factor in skin cancers. So what we really want to do is to come up with an effective way to prevent the cancers, particularly melanoma, by targeting a gene that we know is expressed in the pigment cells. cell, the melanocyte. So this gene has been known to be a main factor in regulating skin pigmentation. But more so, what we have done is we're targeting this gene to overactivate it to the point where not only do we increase the pigment that can be protective, but more importantly, what we discovered is that this gene is very important for repair of any damage to our genetic material that causes the cancer in that pigment cell. So to repair DNA is going to be really something very important to revert any damage that's caused by sun exposure.
But that research is ongoing right now.
This research is ongoing, and we're really hoping. We already have certain drugs that we're testing, drugs if you would like to call them, targeting this particular gene. And what we're hoping is that in the next few years, we can move this forward to where we can finish the preclinical trials and hopefully move to clinical trials with something that people can wear on their skin to prevent damage from the sun and also to give them the beneficial tan that they desire.
Yeah, I think that would be an amazing product. Yeah, make people look good and prevent cancer at the same time.
Yeah.
Can't beat that, I guess. Yeah. Thank you so much. We're out of time. It's been a pleasure to have you both here today.
I really
appreciate
it. Thank you
very much. Great opportunity.
It was our pleasure.
Thanks.
We've been talking about skin cancer. My guests today were dermatologist and assistant professor Dr. Adam Engrafia and professor and researcher Dr. Zalfa Abdelmalek from the University of Cincinnati College of Medicine Department of Dermatology and the UC Cancer Institute. Producer for today's program was Pete Reitmeier. Today's technical director was Rick Andres. We also had help today from Kevin Reynolds and Grace Caudry. Our engineering staff is Don Danko, Bill Dean, and Mike Makinich. Archives of our program are available on our website, wvxu.org. I'm Marianne Zalesnik.